Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And I have some very special guests with me tonight, and we're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to the heart of Bethlehem, and that is the branding of Bethlehem as the Christmas City. And although many of us realize the importance of Christmas City during the holiday season, tonight we're going to talk about a more expanded opportunity for Bethlehem with this branding, a 365-day perspective. What makes Bethlehem the Christmas City year-round? Before I introduce my guests, I'd like to give you a little bit of background about the importance of urban branding and municipal branding. According to McKinsey, the global population is continually growing with increasing numbers of families moving into metropolitan areas, both large and small. As populations increase and uninhabited land decreases, competition between the cities becomes more aggressive in order to attract potential investment and to increase population size. In this competitive dynamic, a strong brand presence is critical, and as a result, this an increased need for city branding has developed over the years. And there's also a special section that deals with municipal branding that I wanted to share. Because if you're in business, you understand the importance of branding for your business and how people recognize you. So it's also now making the way that municipalities have a strong brand as well. According to PrimeAven.com, all municipalities need a brand. It communicates what makes a municipality unique and appealing through a combination of visuals and words. A strong brand can help boost economic development, tourism, and the sense of community residents enjoy. Think about how many choices businesses have when deciding where to locate. And with me this evening are two of the prime supporters, and I'm going to say cheerleaders, for the Bethlehem community. I have with me Lynn Collins Cunningham, and I have Mayor Bob Donches. So first, let me welcome Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Sal. How are you?
I'm good. It's so great to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
I think this is the first time I've had you on the show.
It is. Absolutely.
Oh, terrific. For those of you that may not know Lynn, which I think are far and few between, she's the former Senior Vice President of Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce. She chaired the Bethlehem's 275th Steering Committee. She's a part of the Bethlehem Parking Authority Board, the Citizens Christmas City Council, the Mayor's Business Advisory Council, Community Action Development Corporation. Wow, Lynn.
Well, all of that was before I retired. So I have only remained on the Bethlehem Parking Authority Board because, believe it or not, parking is near and dear to my heart.
So. Well, that's what keeps people coming back or not coming to Bethlehem. Yeah, and for those of you who may not be aware, was it 2 years ago that you were at the State Theater?
Oh, it was longer than that ago. I think it was maybe about 4 years ago.
She did something very brave. It's called Dancing with the Stars.
It was terrifying. Dancing with the Lehigh Valley Stars. And I remember thinking, the only reason I'm doing this is because I really love Shelley Brown, and I love the Freddies, and I know Dancing with the Lehigh Valley Stars benefits the Freddies, but about 5 minutes before the performance, I was cursing Shelley Brown and the Freddies. Why am I doing this? This is crazy.
Well, kudos to you, because I know I wouldn't even make it on the stage. So, and then also, as I said, with us is Mayor Bob Donches. He is the second-term mayor, former city councilman. Welcome, Bob.
Sally, it's always good to see you. Thank you.
And Bob has quite an extensive history, as you can imagine. I just want to highlight a little bit. You may know that he was in the Allentown School District. He was a government history teacher for 35 years. You're too young for that, Bob. And he had been currently is on the Bethlehem Economic Development Corporation, Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, Lehigh Valley Industrial Park, Lehigh Valley Partnership, Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, Southside Vision 2014-2024, and honorary board member of the Hispanic Center of the Lehigh Valley. Now, that's all current stuff, correct, Bob?
Correct, that's right.
Okay, the past stuff is about twice that long.
Tells you that I'm old.
Yeah, very active. You don't see home very often is what it tells me. But I thought it very special to have the two of you here as we talk about the importance of branding for Bethlehem, because to me, although we do have the Star on the Mountain, Bethlehem is a shining example of what urban branding is all about and what we've been able to make it, but it always hasn't been that way. So, Lynn, because of your relationship and knowledge of the Chamber, can you share with our listeners how Christmas City came about?
Yes. So back during the Depression in the 30s, the then president of the Chamber of Commerce, the Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, realized that the merchants were suffering. It was the Depression. Nobody was making any money. And they thought, how are we going to bring more business to our merchants? So they started a letter writing campaign to, I think, over 2,000 chambers of commerce across the country. And during that time, what they did with the letter is they said, we want to be known as the Christmas City. Please advocate for that. And they overwhelmingly did. And from that point on, Bethlehem was the Christmas City.
Okay. And it was a natural because we were founded on Christmas Eve. Back in
1741.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything sort of went together. And when I did my research for this show, I mean, there's a number of Christmas-oriented communities in the U.S., but none of them have the longevity as far as when they were founded that I was able to find.
I'm also going to tell you, I don't think any of them have the authenticity that we have.
I agree.
Because it was Christmas Eve. Our name is Bethlehem. It was started as a religious community, mm-hmm. And that the Christmas City just made sense.
Yeah.
Well, we were founded by the Moravians, Count Zinzendorf, 1741, on Christmas Eve. So the authenticity, I think I agree with you on that. Yeah,
and I think, listeners, keep that in mind, authenticity, because we're going to come back to that later on in our conversation. But when this was named the Christmas City, it truly was just looking at the holiday season, correct?
It was a very secular notion to name Bethlehem the Christmas City, and it was for the holiday season. And it was really just to give our merchants a boost.
Yeah. 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 Well, and since that time, the Chamber has always sort of been very loyal to Bethlehem and that and tourism. And it was in the 80s, I believe, that they looked at, okay, so we're the Christmas City during the holidays. What happens to Bethlehem the rest of the year? And I don't know, Bob.
I was on a tourism board.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I think it was Mayor. Might have been Mayor Maurer that actually formed the Tourism Authority, or maybe Ken Smith, and we had a committee of about 25 people. That's when I got to know Neville Gardner. He was on. Jeff mm-hmm. Parks was on. And we really looked at trying to make Bethlehem a destination year-round, and just not during a Christmas season. And that's when we really began to expand and really became a city of festivals. And today we have about 150 different festivals that brings in, you know, millions of people. Obviously, the largest is Music Fest over 10 days. This past year, we had 1.1 million people. But it's so we're branded really just not as the Christmas City, but as a festival city, and it's great for tourism. It's great for the economy of Bethlehem, but it's also great for the economy of the Holy Eye Valley.
Right.
And actually, there's a little nickname of Bethlehem called Festlehem. Yeah. And I think there are T-shirts for sale if anybody wants to buy them. Call the Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. So I think the first big thing, though, that did come out of the tourism committee that the Chamber had was the Music Fest, correct, back in the 1980s.
Well, Mayor Morris, since it was the mayor, and Music Fest was a concept that Jeff Parks basically came up with, and he talked to Mayor Morris since it about it. And it's an interesting story because when the mayor took it to his cabinet, basically the whole cabinet voted no. And there were two people that voted yes. It was Mayor Mara Sidson, and God bless her, she just passed away a week ago or so, Barbara Caldwell.
Oh, yes.
They were the only two yes votes, and I know because Mayor Mara Sidson was my mentor. He told me this story so many times. Mm-hmm. And we moved forward. I think the first year of Music Fest, we only had 83,000 people over the 10 days, if I remember correctly. But that was the beginning of it. But it really was kind of psychological in a sense that with the closing of the steel, we needed something. And why not, you know, base something? We'll base it on something that was over in Germany that Jeff Parks had this concept, a great idea. And look where it's at today. Like I said, last year, 1.1 million people over 10 days, the largest free music festival in the United States. And it's just a great identity for the city of Bethlehem.
I think Jeff Parks was also on the Bethlehem Chamber Board, and I believe the Bethlehem Chamber Board also said no to Music Fest.
Oh, really?
The forward thinkers that they were back then. But
you're ruining my image.
But no, but I think that's the case. But they soon changed their mind.
Yeah.
So you know, Music Fest is a wonderful thing for the city. If you have 1.1 million people walking through your streets, there's a good chance that even if 1% trickles down and comes back, that's a lot of people coming back to a city. So that's right. Why during those 10 days, it's very important to put a good face on the city.
And be very welcoming.
Right.
And the fact that really when you look at Music Fest, it's basically divided into two parts of town. We have the south side part and the north side part. And I would think, I think I'm accurate what I'm going to say, about maybe 60% of people that come to Music Fest today are from outside of Lehigh Valley. We're outside of Bethlehem, 40% would be Bethlehem-Lehigh Valley. And I always, when I stroll on the south side or go up Main Street and stop people and ask them where they're coming from, it's really a lot of people from, you know, northern Jersey or New Jersey, Philadelphia area, Bucks County, and even from, you know, California people have come here. So it really is it's a festival that many people plan their vacations around, believe it or not, over the course of the 10 days. And we have a great partnership with Music Fest at Cassie Hilgert, as we did with Jeff Parks. And we do a lot of planning. I mean, we meet monthly, and the last 4 or 5 months prior to the festival, because it's a tremendous drain of resources. It's a large commitment.
Absolutely.
And the amount of work that we put into it in the area of public safety that many people just don't know or see is really remarkable, because I think this year we only had about maybe 20 arrests, most of them for, you know, intoxication, and nothing major, knock on wood. But we plan for everything, and it's a great regional effort, and we use Northampton County and Lehigh County, and Lancaster brings up their horses
yeah.
And the state police bring their horses, and, you know, we have LCB agents and a lot of Pennsylvania State Police agents. So, you know, it's really a great partnership, and we've been very fortunate, but we don't take it for granted. We plan it, you know, year for year, and just to make sure that people are safe, because that has to be number one, public safety. And so it's great for the city.
Yeah. And also to add on to that, the merchants also plan for when the smart merchants plan when Music Fest is going to be in town. People usually don't purchase anything during those 10 days.
Yeah, who wants to carry stuff
correct.
With them?
Nobody wants a big bag with them. But what they will do is they'll purchase something small. They'll purchase one of those glow-in-the-dark wands. So some of the merchants will buy kind of tchotchke stuff for people to just purchase. But it gives them business, but it also gives them gives people a reason to go into their stores. So they'll have things out on the sidewalk, or they'll have them in the window so that people can go in once they discover it. And I have to tell you, I discovered the downtown again during Music Fest. And because I had, you know, as a little child, had gone to the downtown all the time. And then as a teenager, just stopped going down. And I was pregnant with my 33-year-old son at the time, and walked in. I thought, wow, this is great. This downtown is great. And that kind of morphed into a career, actually.
Yeah, yeah, good.
You know, so I look at Music Fest as the entree into what I did for the rest of my life.
Wow, interesting.
And I think the other key, though, is that many people may not buy a lot because they don't want to carry packages, but the key is to bring them back.
Correct. Right. To come back. Yep.
And yesterday I met with 5 Russian students through the program of Northampton Community College, and the first thing they said to me is, Mayor, your city is so clean. We've been on the north side and south side, much different than where we come from over in Russia. And we had a great conversation about business and the chamber, about the events, because they're seeing a lot of things firsthand. But that was their first impression. The city is so clean.
Wow.
And I found that interesting.
Great.
But the key is to bring people back. And many people will come back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it's that's the strength of the merchants. And you want to be pro-business, and you want to be pro-local. And that's so important to, you know, the fabric of downtown Bethlehem, north side and south side.
Yeah. When you talk about all the logistics related to, in particular, Music Fest, the one that has always amazed me is the volunteer squad.
You wouldn't have Music Fest without the volunteers.
And there are volunteers that I know that take their week's vacation just to support Music Fest, which
blows
to me,
me
is
away.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, and they will do it every year for,
they're,
you know, 20
very
years.
Very loyal. Yeah. You know, if I knew the secret to that, I'd be ruling the world, because that's an unbelievable amount of loyalty for all of those people. I would say
there's about 1,000 volunteers on minimum.
Yeah.
And Pat Hollis, the chicken lady, she comes up every year from Florida, drives up with her husband, and that's their vacation. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, without the volunteers, you would not have any main festival. But Music Fest with, you know, a million people spread on two campuses in a sense. Really, it's remarkable the core volunteers that they have, and very loyal, very loyal.
Okay. Now, do you believe that Music Fest was sort of the impetus for Bethlehem?
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, because I know when we look at, especially in the beginning of Music Fest, when it was just set in the historic downtown, people loved being downtown. So I know the Chamber wanted to give the people more reasons to come to the downtown.
Okay.
So the Downtown Bethlehem Association, you know, work very hard all year round with, you know, a very small staff, and they put on a ton of festivals. Like, they do Tunes at Twilight starting in May, and that goes until almost up until Music Fest. They have Harvest Festival. They do many Christmas events, and, you know, the Christmas huts in the downtown, and the live Advent calendar, which is on Main Street. Right. And there's a lot of there's a lot of the origins of Music Fest into what everybody is doing now. And I have to say that when you look across the valley, there's a lot of things that start in Bethlehem.
You're right.
And they're mimicked in the other communities in the valley.
Yeah. Okay. And why do you think, I mean, other than the fact that we have Music Fest as our history, why do you think Bethlehem has gravitated to that? Is it sense of community?
I think Bethlehem's a very unique community. I think there's a lot of community involvement. There's a lot of community partnerships together. We have a great relationship between government and the chamber, and government and private entities and businesses in the city. We have companies that really donate money and constantly throughout the city. They don't want any publicity. And, you know, companies like Just Born, I'll just name one, that are such a good corporate citizen in the city of Bethlehem. But we have this uniqueness. I mean, we're 76,000 people. We're a relatively large city, but we're still a small city in a sense. And we're a city of neighborhoods. And people know each other, and we have a very good school system. And so I think it's the fact that we really have this closeness in a sense. And no matter if there's an event, I mean, even when you have flooding down the Music Fest, you know, when last year or the year before, it's amazing how many volunteers will come out at 2 in the morning just to assist and help. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what makes Bethlehem very special and very unique, the fact that we have this closeness. And we're really a close community, I think.
We are. And I believe the school district, I think it starts in the school district, actually. We have such a good school district where it's just so community-minded. And I know that we in the chamber incorporate the schools when we can in our events. And so we started a very
early age
of having them being part of things. And there's nothing like being involved with your community, because there's a pride that you have that you don't lose, you know.
Okay. All right. Listeners, we're going to take a short break here. My guests this evening are Lynn Collins Cunningham, who's former Senior Vice President at Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, and Bob Donches, who's Mayor of Bethlehem. Stay tuned to learn more about the city branding Bethlehem 365.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or wdiy.org.
Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is Sally Hanlon, and you are listening to 88.1 WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse. And my guests this evening are Lynn Collins Cunningham, former SVP of Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, and Bob Donchez, mayor of the city of Bethlehem. We are discussing the upcoming year of Bethlehem and its importance in branding for the community. And before our break, we talked a little bit about the schools and the importance of the school districts in creating that thought and involvement in community. And I just want to put a little bit of a caveat here. I have lived in Allentown, Bethlehem Easton. I've lived in the Slate Belt. There is no community in the Lehigh Valley like Bethlehem in the sense of, I mean, volunteers and the spirit that comes. And Lynn mentioned before we broke it with the message that, you know, it starts in the schools. So, Lynn, why don't you share a little bit of that with our listeners?
So I'm born and raised in Bethlehem and just turned 60, so I've been here quite a while. And but I remember very clearly when I was a child in grade school taking tours of the Moravians, the Central Moravian Church, where they were making candles, beeswax candles. There is a pride that is instilled from the time you're a child into the history and the heritage of the city. The whole Christmas City feeling, and then when I say feeling, I feel like we feel that we're part of the Christmas City. And I don't care what denomination you are, we feel that it's the Christmas City. And there's pride in that. And that's drilled in from the time you're 6 years old, 7 years old. And I remember thinking a little town of Bethlehem was about us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Exactly. So I believe that's why I said it starts in the school, because when you grow up that way, and if you have that pride when you're a child and you continue to stay in the valley, you feel it. And even, I hate to say it, but a few of our kids are not in the valley anymore and working outside of the valley. When they come back, they still have this very strong feeling for home. But it's Bethlehem
That's home.
That's home, right.
Well, and I noticed with adults, I mean, Bob, you've had a number of like citizen advisory committees and things like that, and you always seem to get people who are interested in Bethlehem and its future.
No question about it. I think that we're very fortunate that we have very few vacancies on city boards and authorities compared to many other cities where they really advertise and they have dozens of vacancies. So, again, it comes back to this Bethlehem community spirit that we've had. And when you drive around town now in the Christmas season, you see so many homes with lights in their windows, and that's a tradition that goes back a long, long time. So everyone wants to be part of it, and we had the Christmas tree lighting ceremony the Friday right after Thanksgiving, and I think people were surprised by the new look of the tree. And
gorgeous.
There's 10,000 lights on that tree, just for the record.
It's amazing.
So if you haven't seen it, go.
Yes, please. And we had maybe 3,000 to 4,000 people that attended, and we always would draw 3,000 to 4,000. Lynn was in charge of that for many years, did an outstanding job. But it's just a community spirit that people come, not just from Bethlehem to see the tree lighting, but I was amazed how many people I knew from Bangor and Allentown and McCungie. They just come to Bethlehem to see this tradition that we have. But when you drive around the south side and north side and west side, and you see the lights in their windows or tree decorations, it really says volumes about Bethlehem. And it makes us, the Christmas City, and then we have the Star on the Mountain.
Which, and that's year-round now, correct?
That's year-round since around 1993 or so, give or take. And that's symbolic of the city, too. We are the Christmas City, but we're much more than that, too, now.
Yeah. I know, Lynn, it always amazed me. I think I first met you when you left your job and decided to go out and promote a catalog that we were doing. Do you remember that?
I didn't leave my job. I was actually working for the Parking Authority at the time.
Okay.
And the chamber had, and I wasn't working for the chamber then, but the chamber had contracted with an organization to sell a booklet. It was called The Guide to Bethlehem.
Right. Mm.
And they bailed on us. They just pulled out. And I talked to Hector Nemes, who was my boss at the time, and I said, I think I could sell this, and I think we can get it made until you know, we can get somebody to do it, you know, full time the next time. And Hector agreed, and I went out and...
Well, that always amazed me that you were allowed to have that amount of time to work on this community event. And I was very impressed. And that's sort of the thing that happens all the time in Bethlehem.
Can I tell you a funny story about that? So there was a woman who worked at the morning call, and she was new. And the morning call, they were the people who printed the book. And when I ordered it, it was thousands of these books. And I want to say 20,000 or 25,000 of these books. And when they came to the chamber office, and at this point, by the way, I am now working for the chamber. Like, I left the Parking Authority. I'm working now for the chamber. It's my first real big project. And the Guides to Bethlehem show up on pallets wrapped in plastic wrap, not in boxes. And we can't even get the pallets in the front door. We don't know where they're out on the street, these huge pallets. So I did this whole barn raising, and all the merchants came out and they gave us their empty boxes, and they lent their employees to put these guides in the boxes so we could store them in the front room. And because the lady at the morning call said, because I said, I can't take these, they're not in boxes. And she said, please, please, I will lose my job if you deny these, so please take them. And that's when I came up with the barn raising for the Guides to Bethlehem. So, but it was a community. They were all invested, and they all helped out, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's not that, you know, this is such a Norman Rockwell idealistic. Right. We've had our challenges mm-hmm. in Bethlehem. I can think as a merchant on the south side and the merchants on the north side, we've always sort of done a tug of war over the years. But in the long run, you know, everybody seems to come together and work.
It's true. There is a competitive feeling between the north and south side, but in everybody's heart, they know that it is all, you know, we're together, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, let's share with our listeners, maybe not everyone is aware of it, but Bethlehem has gotten a number of recognitions, both for its Christmas as holiday, as well as non-holiday. Mm-hmm. So why don't we start with Lynn, some of the holiday recognition that Bethlehem has received over the years, what would that include?
Well, Travel and Leisure said we're the most festive in the entire country for Christmas City. Top 20 places to spend Christmas is Oprah Magazine.
And, wow, that's incredible.
I know. And Country Living, 50 best Christmas towns to visit for the holidays.
Yeah. And, Bob, I know there's a number of year-round things that we've been acknowledged for.
Well, to add to the list that we just made reference to, Money Magazine in 2016 and 17 said that Bethlehem was one of the best places to retire in the Northeast. 24/7 Wall Street declared us as one of the best cities to live in. Huffington Post, one of the best downtowns on the north side in the United States. So we've really been acknowledged and recognized by many national journals and magazines. And it's because of our quality of life. We're a safe city. We have a great quality of life. We have a great school system that attracts young families to come here and live here, raise their children here. And we're really very pro-business, and businesses want to locate in the city, and if not in the city, in the Lehigh Valley. And there's a very good gentleman that we all know that's in charge of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, Mr. Cunningham, and who does an outstanding job. But I think that, you know, Bethlehem now is a city of not just Christmas, but it's a city of festivals. And it brings people, and we hope that they come back. And, you know, Celtic Fest averages about 225,000 people over
festival.
3 days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Runner's World, we just had that, 20,000-30,000 people running that you could qualify for the Boston Marathon. And then, you know, when you look at steel stacks, we haven't talked about the banana factory or steel stacks, but the steel stacks on the south side, the Levitt Pavilion with the 5 blast furnaces is really our skyline. And it's just great to go over there and just sit and listen to music on the grass in front of the pavilion, 3,500, 4,000 people during the summer constantly. So it just speaks volumes for what we're really about.
Do you remember the first time that you were in front of the blast furnaces after Bethlehem Steel? Like, when we were kids, I think maybe we took tours of the steel when we were very little. But when everything was dead and then they started they were going to do this steel stacks project. And standing at the base of the steel stacks.
And looking up.
And looking up. The only thing I could compare it to is standing in front of the ocean. And it sounds ridiculous now because everybody's so used to being down there. But at the time, it was so momentous.
As one that grew up two blocks from the blast furnaces, you really don't get the effect of the blast furnaces until you're standing right next to them.
Right, right.
And then you walk on the Hoover Mason Trestle,
right,
which is really
that's
a very
amazing.
Popular place
right.
here in Bethlehem now. And it really gives you an idea of what the blast furnace is. It's a marvel of history.
It says. Is.
That, you know, they're all 60, 75 to 100 years old. It's just remarkable, but you really don't get the effect until you're standing right next to those blast furnaces.
That's correct.
And you just say, wow, this was built back in the 1920s, mm-hmm. 1930s, mm-hmm. and it's remarkable.
Yeah, I remember that ribbon cutting that they had done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forget the development firm out of Maryland that was here that had initially talked about developing that property, and I'm sitting in that chair looking up thinking, oh my goodness. And people used to work up there
right,
and climb
right,
up there.
Right,
and it really gives some perspective to...
And that's a remarkable comeback story, though, too, for the city, because that was 1,800 acres of Bethlehem Steel property, one of the largest brownfields in the country. And when you look at all the development on the Beth Works site by Steel Stacks and Levitt Pavilion, PBS 39, and the History Museum, and then you look at the casino, and then you go back down into the industrial parks, it's really remarkable that we've come back with almost 10,000 people working in the old Bethlehem Steel plant and $2 billion invested. So that speaks volumes about our city, the leadership, political and corporate, and people just marvel when they come and see what we've been able to do in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I remember when the last blast of the furnace occurred, and it was just like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's only been, what, 90, was that 96, 97?
95.
95? No.
But it closed, was, I think it was 201.
Right, 201. Yeah.
Give or take.
But
yeah.
I remember when it, so I didn't really notice that it went. It stopped.
It went black.
But when the lights came on for the first time when they were filming Transformers,
oh, yeah.
and
yeah.
the lights were on, and then all of a sudden it brought it all back to me. And I and this shows you what kind of a nerd I am, but I got very emotional and very teary-eyed because there was activity down there. And, you know, that was before the steel stacks construction happened. But it just brought it all back of yeah. how active and how there were always lights on down there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden,
dark.
Dark,
that's
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking about things happening over a period of time, Lynn, you were the chair of the 275th anniversary of Bethlehem. And again, when I was doing research, I mean, we're certainly not the oldest city when I, you know, look at some of the cities in the South and mm-hmm. Philadelphia and stuff, but we certainly have had a very strong 275 years as you look back with, you know, first the Moravians and then with the industry and then coming back with the industrialization. We've had, what, three centuries of industrialization between the Moravians and now we're into technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What did you find to be the most interesting part about being that chair? Or maybe it was some of the folks who came from this area. Maybe it was just hearing the tales.
So we did a Hall of Fame, and that was
that was a great event.
It was really fun, and it's a shame because it was about 112 degrees outside that day when we did the community. It was so hot that day. So we didn't have a ton of people down there, but the people who were down there really enjoyed it. But we did have, we had this Hall of Fame event. And what was interesting about that was how many different people who have gone on to accomplish a lot that started here in Bethlehem. And if not even started here, with these two great colleges, Lehigh and Moravian, you've got some pretty impressive people that went to school mm-hmm. in the colleges. So it was a really a lot of great athletes that came from Bethlehem and my own classmate Risa Sperling is one of the foremost experts in Alzheimer's disease research.
Wow.
You know, and for Harvard University. I mean, that, you know, some impressive people, actors. You know, and Danny Roebuck.
Yeah.
You know, one of them. And
The Rock.
The Rock.
And The Rock, who, by the way, did not return my calls. Like, I kept sending emails. And then finally, it was about a month before the ceremony. And I was just desperate. Like, I emailed, I called, and I finally tweeted him. and said, "You're being honored, and you know, or you know, we need to know, are you going to show up or something like that?" And then I got a phone call after that from his assistant, which, you know, said we're not coming, but at least I got a response. Yeah. Right. So, but there were that was a really it was pretty cool. That was fun.
Yeah. It's just incredible to me that, and the fact that you talk about authenticity, the Moravian buildings. That are downtown. I mean, we didn't have to recreate anything. Mm-hmm. We have the originals here.
Right.
And the Moravians took such good care of it. The city's taking such good care of it.
Historic Bethlehem. Historic Bethlehem museums and sites.
Charlene Donchesmauer does, and her board, they do an outstanding job,
they do.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that we're being considered now as a World Heritage site is really a testament, again, to the city, to the city's history, to the Moravian community. Historic Moravian is designated as a possible, you know, World Heritage Site, and hopefully we'll get that in 2021, and that will speak volumes again for tourism, not just for Bethlehem, but for the whole Lehigh Valley.
It will change everything.
It will change everything, no question about it.
And people will actually just check off World Heritage Sites that they've gone to visit. They will go to visit a World Heritage Site just because it's a World Heritage Site. So that will change everything, and it speaks volumes because of Historic Bethlehem Museum and Sites and what they have done and how they've kept up those buildings that really, if they were not there, they'd either go into disrepair or the city would have to do it.
Oh, I mean,
there's,
right.
You know, there's, you know, so...
Well, there was a plan at one time to raise all those buildings.
Which is
true.
Oh, my goodness, that would have been...
I had some guests in from Philadelphia this past Sunday, and they were at the hotel for a mini convention, one of the governor's task force, and... I met this one prominent attorney for brunch, and then I gave him a tour of the city. And as I was walking down Church Street, this family was coming up, about maybe six or seven of them. And they said, "Boy, there's a lot of old buildings here." And I stopped them. I said, no, they're not old. They're historic buildings. There's a big difference here. And they laughed. They were from Bucks County, and they just came up for the day. And the shop on Main Street, and go over to the south side. And again, that just speaks volumes about Bethlehem.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
The World Historic District. Are there, what, three in Pennsylvania? I can't remember the statistics regarding that. Do you guys remember offhand? I know there's a limited number.
Yeah, there is a limited number. I want to say Independence Hall. Mm-hmm. I think there's only two in
Pennsylvania. I think there's only two in Pennsylvania also.
Yeah.
Okay. There's landmark districts, landmark districts.
Yeah, we are a landmark district
but,
now,
but
too.
But World Heritage Site, I think it's two. And
the
Liberty
right.
Bell is one. Is,
yeah.
is one of
was
them.
One
yeah. of them. I forget what the other one is.
And we are historic landmark districts.
We are. Yes.
Based since about maybe 2015, 2016.
And that's all thanks to Charlene.
No question about it. She's done a remarkable job.
Yes, she has.
Well, and we have the Smithsonian as a strategic partner on the south
side
with the Industrial Museum.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of these, and Charlene was involved in that as well.
I think, you know, if we were to get the World Heritage, and even if we don't, just the fact that we're being considered is a great honor.
It is.
But you could come to Bethlehem, you could go to the History Museum, you could go to Valley Forge, Gettysburg, all within making it a 2 or 3 day visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the goals that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's terrific. And you said 2021, right?
Hopefully 2021.
I know it's been in the works for a while.
Yes.
It has. Yes.
It's been an ordeal as far as the process goes, but... Okay. Well, we're going to take another short break. My guests this evening are Lynn Collins Cunningham, former Senior Vice President at Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, and Bob Donchez, Mayor of the City of Bethlehem. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
If you just tuned in, welcome back. This is Sally Hanlon, and you are listening to 88.1 WDIY's Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest this evening, Lynn Collins Cunningham, former Senior Vice President at Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, and Bob Donchez, Mayor of Bethlehem. And we're talking about Bethlehem and its unique branding that goes beyond the Christmas city of just the holiday season, but throughout the rest of the year as well. And one of the things we talked about was Bethlehem, which is the name, I guess, that Bethlehem is getting for the 150 or so festivals that seem to go on throughout the year, not just during the holiday season. And since the Chamber of Commerce has been very instrumental in supporting that and getting that throughout the rest of the year, Lynn, let's share a little bit with our listeners about what is all involved from your perspective. And then, Bob, I know the city is heavily involved as well. So, you know, it's not that just that they appear. Mm-hmm. It's not a pop-up, here it is.
Right. It was very eye-opening the first time we did Harvest Festival, which was, I think, maybe 14 years ago, 15 years ago. And when people complain about the price of beer, at any of the festivals, at Music Fest, at Celtic, at any of the festivals, they don't realize that they're getting an amazing amount of free stuff. You know, it's a good thing this is a family show because I could have said something else. But it drives me crazy because there's so much involved with doing a festival. You've got to make sure that you have enough porta potties. You need to have the police force, and you know, the city provides this, but it is something that you have to, you know, that you have to pay for. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for the stages that are built, the sound guys, and this is something that I know other communities have tried to do festivals, and they do festivals, and I don't want to say, I know that, you know, like Mayor Muertes, my former counterpart in Allentown, does a Blues Brews,
right,
and barbecue over in Allentown and does an amazing job. Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing festival. But there are some communities that think, oh, well, we can just put on a festival and they
just hang it out
and then just put a sign up and then put it on Facebook and we're going to do this. But there's so much involved with it. And just a sound professional alone, when you have bands that are playing, you need somebody that can make the sound reverberate through the street
and sound good.
Yeah. And and then you have to pay for the bands, you know. Those bands, those musicians aren't working for free, you know, you're paying for them, so there's just a lot. Just cups for the beer, I mean, you know, things like that, you have to pay for
trash.
Yeah. Trash pickup, an amazing amount of trash pickup goes on with festivals, and there will always be complaints, and there will always be somebody who takes a picture on, you know, after the end of a festival with an overflowing garbage can and then calls out either Bob or the Chamber, you know, what's right. going on here. But, you know, they try, and it's just a lot of work.
Yeah. And in addition to coordinating, you know, with the city, which is a big part of that, I mean, just their own chamber staff. I mean, everybody gets involved. So it's a full team.
Right.
Effort.
It's a full team. And you, they start, like, usually the chamber events are, they're a one-day event. So other than, like, the Christmas huts, but and the live advent calendar. But when it's a festival, it starts in the morning. So you've got to set up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then you're breaking down at night, and usually, you know, the staff is working all day long. I don't know how the staff at Music Fest does it,
yeah,
because
true.
I know at the end of my one-day festivals, I'm about all I want to do is
case.
All I want to do is sit on that sofa. And but I, you know one time our garbage guys didn't show up, so I was elbow deep in garbage cans pulling out garbage bags that fell beneath
the garbage,
and so it's just it's not fun. I was also on the street with a shovel, cleaning up horse manure one time because we had, you know, a horse and they were doing like horse and carriage rides, and you know, you get so busy and all of a sudden you see this in the middle of the street, you got to stop everything because you can't have people walking in horse manure. You know,
right.
there's just things to it that people wouldn't really know until they do it.
Right,
and that's
Bob,
a good selling point, because, you know, you're selling your city in a sense.
Right.
So if people, when they come here, let's say 10 o'clock in the morning, after you had 100,000 people the following day, the previous day, and they see garbage, it's not a good impression.
Mm-mm.
So the coordination between the city and Music Fest or any festival and the chamber has to be really down pat in a sense, because when you think about 150 festivals a year, the amount of police work, you have to have the fire department, you have to have EMS, public works closing the streets. I mean, I forgot we had a marathon race last Saturday, I went to go down to City Hall. I couldn't get into City Hall because all the streets were closed, and I forgot about that.
The turkey trot.
So, absolutely. So it's like, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of manpower, but it really is worth it because you want to bring more people to your community, and you want them to come back, and that's what we're known for, and, you know, good quality of life, a clean and safe community. But it really sometimes, you know, we're stretched with our resources because the city has 600 people working for it. And but we try to always accommodate and work with all the festivals that Lynn was great working with. And because my philosophy is when an event comes to the city, I always tell the people in the permit department, don't say no right away, that's going to be the end result. Let's listen to what they have to say, and let's see if we could find some middle ground. Because you got to be very positive. The more festivals I think we have, the better off Bethlehem is.
Right. I agree. Right. It also adds, like you said, to the quality of life. But what that does is that translates to not only more people visiting, but it also translates to more companies wanting to come and settle here in Bethlehem or in the Valley, because quality of life for their employees, which wasn't as big of a deal before, but now the new workforce, they demand certain things. They're looking for fine restaurants. They're looking for fun restaurants. They're looking for shopping opportunities, places to just hang out and drink beer, you know, and we have that. It's a very attractive place for businesses to come and settle. And so that's actually a very important component of being Festlehem.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of our selling points.
Right.
I mean, you have many people that will come from the western part of Lehigh County just to come downtown and eat. And they love outside dining. Mm-hmm. And then walk around. And it's important for the stores to be open, mm-hmm. you know, in the evenings. And we're looking at more specialty stores. And that's what, you know, right now we're in the midst of doing a study. We'll have the report probably in January, the Gibbs study, to tell us about different retail, you know, challenges and some stores that may be interested in coming to Bethlehem, locating on the north side or the south side, because retail is very challenging today because of Amazon. And I like to see a blend,
yeah.
you
mm-hmm.
know, of restaurants and retail, but right. it becomes more challenging. But I think that Lynn is exactly right. The fact that we're a clean city, high quality of life, an excellent school district, a safe city, attracts families to come to Bethlehem. It also attracts businesses because they want to see those statistics that consider at least locating in Bethlehem. And if it's not Bethlehem, I always say, locate that in the Lehigh Valley. Stay mm-hmm. here. But, you know, you're selling your city, and it's very important.
Yeah. Well, and we've had a lot of development recently go on in the south side that we hadn't had for years, which is a lot of apartments are going mm-hmm. in to support the, you know, folks that want to work, live, and play in the same
right.
place.
Right.
There's a tremendous demand of young people, the young millennials. They want to live in the urban core. Walkability, connectability is very important. They want to be close to everything. We have discussions, and some have been made public, some new apartment complexes on the north side, some on the south side, and they'll be taken right away because people just want to be near everything today. That may not be the case 10 years from now when they get married and have families, but today they really want to be in the urban core, close to everything. And when you really look at the redevelopment or revitalization, let's just say, of the south side, it really started with the banana factory going way back mm-hmm. when they made an investment, Lenny Fowler did.
You know, I thought it was my business.
Yes, and your business, yes, in the Saraceto building, yes. But then you look at the commitment of the Benner Project, really the commitment of Lehigh and St. Luke's.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
John mm-hmm. Simon and Rick Anderson, in my opinion, deserve a lot of yep. credit. And I was part of negotiations on that, and they made a commitment that they would go in that building. And today we have almost 300 people working there.
Yeah.
This building, the Flatiron building, we have people, we have offices from Lehigh University, et cetera, the radio station. They're in the heart of Bethlehem. And the more people you get to live on the south side or on the north side, the more people you have walking, the more vibrant your downtowns are going to be. And so when you drive down 3rd Street from, let's say, the Fahey Bridge, right down to the casino, and you see all this development over the last few years. And now with Wind Creek taking over, you know, purchasing the casino from the Sands, and they're going to start on a second hotel in January, and they're giving a hard look at the possibility of that indoor water park in the old number 2 shop. They want this to be a destination for them in the Northeast. And that's going to change the city, too. Mm-hmm. It's just going to bring more people to Bethlehem, and we want them to stay here more than one day so they could visit everything we have on the south side and the north side. But the investment that Wind Creek will make over the next 5 to 10 years, I think, is really will build that site out.
Okay. And Lehigh Valley Industrial Park 7, is yes. that full now?
Lehigh Valley Industrial Park 7 is built out about 80%.
80%.
And then next to it, right by the I-78 interchange, is Majestic Realty with 500 acres owned by Mr. Roski, one of the co-owners of the L.A. Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers.
The Staples Center.
Yeah. We have Walmart.com and a few other ones that are in there and some that are in discussion. So when you look at the whole 1,800 acres, we're about 85-80% built out.
Which is remarkable. Crazy when you think about
a brownfield. One of the largest brownfields in the country.
And I remember in the 80s when Jeff started Music Fest, there was a feeling, there was such a worried feeling because we knew that Bethlehem Steel was ramping everything down. And there was such a, what's the future going to be like? And I know that when Don was mayor, he's told me that he really felt like he needed to change this community. And he was worried. And that's when Bethlehem Steel went, I think 3 months into his being mayor, they went down. Mm-hmm. And at the time, think about this. Orr's department store was closed, where the Main Street Common is. The Hotel Bethlehem
was closed.
So both ends of Main Street were dark from Broad to Church, the two anchors. And that was 20 years ago. Yeah. And now we're talking about the brownfield being almost completely filled. It's insane.
And you look at the investment that the investors put in a Hotel Bethlehem, making it one of the best historic hotels in the country.
Yeah. Right.
And hopefully that they will do the expansion, because I think that will be great for the downtown and great for the city, great for Main Street. But it's remarkable, because I remember when Don was elected mayor, I was on council. We were both elected to city council together in 95, and then he became mayor. But when Hotel Bethlehem closed, there was discussion about maybe turning that over to Moravian College, apartments or dormitories.
Or seniors.
I mean, senior citizens. Assisted living facility.
That.
Think if that was the case.
Just think about that.
Oh,
and today, that is the anchor of Main Street.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just a draw. They've done a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. It's a majestic hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the anchor of on Main Street. There's
no
question about it.
And they do such a nice job.
No
they
question.
Are so involved with the downtown. And so they're very valuable for that. Not just their existence, but just their involvement is very valuable.
Yeah, well, we're so fortunate that everybody has stayed connected.
It's all part of the pride we have in the city because our citizens wouldn't let Bethlehem die. And if you drive around this state or you drive around upstate New York and you see communities that have lost their major industry and you see how depressed the areas are, you have to think how lucky we are. And I know when I say luck, I know there was a lot of hard work behind that luck, but we're just very fortunate that we have this community to make it that we to make sure that we didn't die.
I think the Lehigh Valley and Bethlehem, we've been very unique and very fortunate. We've always had very good political leadership, regardless of political party, a very good corporate leadership, and someone that I think I always like to acknowledge, because I think that he made some very difficult decisions. He deserves a lot of credit, is Hank Barnett. When the steel closed, Mr. Barnett, they made a commitment and they demolished a lot of the buildings that did not have a historical nature to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the buildings that are left all have some history to it, but the fact that he lives here, he's so involved in the community.
He is.
He will never say no. He is a gentleman. He's a class act. But I think that his commitment to Bethlehem really was kind of the catalyst of helping Bethlehem come back and go through this transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves.
I agree.
He's a remarkable person.
He is. He's very committed to Bethlehem. And somebody in his position, he could have easily just moved away, retired,
no question,
and gone somewhere else. And he stayed here. And he helps whenever he can, and he was on the 275th committee. He's on the World Heritage Committee. He's just involved and you wouldn't know it.
No, he's very quiet about it.
But he's you're right, Bob. He's done a very good job.
Well, and I look at I lived in Pittsburgh for a while, and I look at what happened out there with U.S. Steel, and they basically just wastelands,
you know,
as far as tearing down all the buildings, and nothing has really sprouted up.
Right.
I wasn't aware of it at the time.
And the other key point about Bethlehem is the fact that we're growing our population.
Right.
I mean, there's a very good chance with the census coming up that we could hit 80,000 population. So we are a city with a growing population and a growing young population. A
growing millennial population.
That's exactly right. So that speaks volumes for Bethlehem.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah. And we had the 2020 folks on here a while back, and I know that there's some real obstacles that they're thinking about as far as trying to get everybody to be counted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure, if you're listening, Bethlehem people, make sure you complete the census.
Absolutely.
You can do it online or do it with somebody, whatever, but we need, because that affects us. Right?
It affects how much community development block grant money we get from Washington for a period of 10 years, so how much federal money we're going to get. But then it also affects how many electoral votes we have in the Electoral College for the next 10 years.
Very important.
Right.
So, and that's very important.
And some of the other funding that comes through.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Besides that. Mm-hmm. So, Bob, I'm going to put this to you. Now, you're in your second term, and it's going to be sort of winding down in 2020.
Are you calling me a lame duck?
No. This is more time now for you to get things done. But what do you see as some of maybe the challenges for the next person that comes in, or challenges for Bethlehem to try, and we've got a short period of time to do this, to try and keep this momentum going?
Well, I think the key from my point of view for the next 2 years is really to try to get the developer to develop the old Boyd movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really want to see that developed, at least starting to be, developed over the next 2 years. I think we're going to continue to see development on 3rd Street. I think we're going to continue to see development on the Wind Creek property. And I think you're going to continue to see development in our downtowns. There'll be some new buildings going up. The Benner Building on New Street will be going up in the spring. So I think, as long as we keep moving forward, be pro-business, and the fact that Martin Towers is going to be developed, that's 53 acres. That's the largest piece of real estate in the city. That will start development in the next year, and that will probably be a 3-4 year project. So I think you're going to see a lot of development over the next 5 to 10 years in the city.
Wow. Lynn, from your perspective, I'm coming from the business.
I'm going to say that I know that as things get better, people expect more. And so what will happen is there will be new challenges that we're not even thinking of because people haven't thought of them yet, but there's going to be demands that people are going to have, as things,
as technology changes,
correct.
As the world
exactly.
changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. My guests, Lynn Collins Cunningham, former Senior Vice President of Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, and Bob Donchez, Mayor of the City of Bethlehem. And listeners, I want to thank you for being a part of our show this evening on 88.1 WDIY. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.